Dr. Michael Youssef, reflecting on the significance of the very first Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday, the very first Palm Sunday, was the first time during his public ministry the Lord Jesus Christ allowed the crowd to call him king for the first time. On that first Palm Sunday, for the first time in his earthly ministry, he was allowing them to crown him king of all.
This weekend marks Palm Sunday and the beginning of Holy Week activities and celebrations all around the world. Throughout the week, we will hear and read about the Savior giving final words to his disciples, the Savior being betrayed, beaten, crucified, and ultimately rising from the grave. Today, Dr. Youssef takes you to that first Palm Sunday in hopes that you will see beyond a donkey ride into the city and focus on the King who rules. Listen with me now as Dr. Michael Youssef guides you to understand what the kingship of Jesus really means.
I know in this 21st century, we do not know nor comprehend what an absolute monarch or absolute authority is all about. Most of us today think of monarchy as we see in Europe. It was known as constitutional monarchy. Very little power. Their power is mostly ceremonial. Their control or influence is mostly on an advisory capacity. Their rule is mostly symbolic. And because of our experience, we often think of King Jesus in the same way, that he is just an advisor, that King Jesus is just there to accommodate to us, that he is there to help us only when we need him, that he is the one to whom we pray and we pay homage, or maybe not an acquaintance with him once a week on a Sunday morning in church. But when the Bible speaks of the Christ the King, it means that he has absolute power over us. It means that he has absolute control over us. It means that he has absolute authority over every aspect of our lives. It means that he is the only one to whom we fully surrender and crown him on a daily basis and obey him. And because of these distinctives of the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ, for a long time, he would not allow people during his public ministry to call him king. For almost a third of a year, he would not allow anyone to call him king. In fact, they want to make him king by force, but he refused. And he waited until Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, the very first Palm Sunday, was the first time during his public ministry the Lord Jesus Christ allowed the crowd to call him king for the first time. On that first Palm Sunday, for the first time in his earthly ministry, he was allowing them to crown him king of all. I want to tell you four things about King Jesus. King Jesus was anticipated. Secondly, King Jesus was announced. And thirdly, King Jesus was acclaimed. And finally, King Jesus is above all. Now, if you don't get those four A's, I can't help you. I worked hard on them. You see, Jesus did not just appear in a vacuum. He has been anticipated for thousands of years. From Genesis, which is the first book in the Old Testament, for those of you who don't know, all the way to Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, the coming of Jesus has been anticipated hundreds of times in details of his birth and crucifixion, even entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. For example, in Genesis 49, the Bible tells us that he's the only king whose scepter will never depart from his hand. In the book of Numbers chapter 24, he's the only king whose eternal domain is unquestioned. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, it tells us that he's the only king whose kingdom is forever. In Psalm 2, the Bible tells us that he's the only king who's anointed king by God the Father himself. In Psalm 144, it tells us that he's the only king to whom all kings shall bow. In Isaiah 2, it tells us that he's the only king whose reign is in complete righteousness. He is the only king whose kingdom has no geographical boundary. And in Jeremiah 23, it tells us that he's the only king who is over all of the universe. And in Ezekiel 21 and 28, it tells us that he's the only king who rules over all kings. And in Daniel chapter 2, it tells us that he's the only king at whose feet all empires are going to crumble and bow. In Malachi chapter 2, it tells us that he's the only king who has supernatural strength, supernatural power. In Zechariah 14, 9, it tells us he's the only king over all the earth. The question is he your king? Is he the king of your life? Only you can answer that. Only you can answer that. King Jesus was anticipated. Secondly, he was announced. See, the Old Testament foretold about his coming. The New Testament is enthralled to announce and to talk about him being here. He's arrived. In the Old Testament, we see a partial portrait of Jesus, King Jesus. But in the New Testament, we see a historic portrait. And that is why Matthew refers to him as king 14 times. Mark refers to him as king 6 times. Luke 5 times. And in John 14 times. In the New Testament announced that his supernatural nature, the New Testament announces his universal scope of his reign and rule. The New Testament announces his power that emanates from himself. The New Testament announced that his victory is over all oppression. And that is why on Palm Sunday, King Jesus rode onto Jerusalem, not to conquer it, no, but to conquer hearts and wills with the power of his love. Don't ever forget. The earthly kings, emperors, dictators, despots, they lord it over people. But King Jesus compels us with his sacrificial love. Amen. When King Jesus was announced during his earthly life, he had nowhere to lay his head. You see, he healed the sick without a fee. He fed the hungry without a charge. He bound the broken hearts. By the power of his mercy, he stilled the storm with the word of his mouth. He raised the dead by the authority of his divine office. He merely invites people to come to him and receive his kingship, receive his salvation, to come to him and be eternally saved, come to him and surrender to him. That's all he does. He never held the sword. He never stuck the sword to somebody's face and say, believe in me or else. He's never used his power to force people to believe in him. He never compelled anyone against their will to believe in him. He only invites. He only invites, and that's why he's a free game. They mock him. They mock his name in the movies, on television, and throughout the Western world. Question, have you accepted his invitation? He only invites. He said, I'm standing on the door and knocking. If anyone opens, I'll come in. Have you accepted his invitation? King Jesus was anticipated. King Jesus was announced. King Jesus is acclaimed. Some years ago, my wife and I saw a movie entitled The King's Speech. He's the father of current Queen Elizabeth, King George VI. In that film was showing how he worked so hard, so diligently to overcome speech impediment. He really did not want to be a king, but his older brother abdicated, so he was forced into it. And he was going through all this trouble and working hard and working diligently so that he may give the speech of his life. And he did. But beloved, listen to me. When the King of Kings gave his first speech on the earth, it was only few words. Few words. We talk about Abraham Lincoln, short speech. Listen, the shortest speech King ever delivered was Jesus. It's in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. The kingdom of God is here, therefore repent and believe the good news. Isn't that profound? You don't have to have a long speech. It's a very short speech. The divine royal king is here. Come to him while you can. The king of all kings is here to rule not over some geographical location, but rule over the hearts of those who surrender to him. The royal king of heaven is here, not on a chariot that pull with horses, but on a donkey. Why? Because the Bible said he rides the clouds to the help of his people. Remember that on that very first Sunday, Palm Sunday, on that very first Palm Sunday, the crowd, the masses cried out, Hosanna! Hosanna! Can you say it with me? Hosanna. It means save now. That's what it means. In fact, unbeknown to them, they were proclaiming and fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. They were acclaiming that which was anticipated for many generations from the time of Adam and Eve. They were saying that the king whose love woos us is here. The king whose sacrifice will redeem us is here. The king whose power will conquer our will is here. The king whose strength will carry us through life's hardships is here. The king whose might will empower us to defeat sin and Satan and death is here. The king whose gracious invitation to us will allow us to reign and rule with him over the whole universe for all of eternity. He is here. The question again, is he your king? Is he your king? He can be today if you accept his gracious invitation. He'll never force you. He'll compel you with his love. King Jesus was what? King Jesus was?
Yes.
King Jesus was?
Yes.
And finally, fourthly, King Jesus is above all. He's above all. In the book of Revelation, it makes it so clear. It makes it so clear that King Jesus is above all. King Jesus is preeminent. King Jesus has no equal. Has no equal. The crowns in the book of Revelation, they indicate or represent his constitutional authority. The diadems in the book of Revelation, they represent his absolute power. The crowns are the symbol of his conquering of sin and death and Satan. The diadems speak of him having no rival. King David, when he defeated all of his enemies, he took a crown of pure gold with precious stones, and he placed it on his own head. When Ptolemy defeated Antioch, he actually put two crowns on his head, one of Egypt and one of Asia. In 1385, when the Prince of Wales, after victory in the Battle of Crecy, he adopted the crown of John the Bohemian. But listen, I'm not going to give you a history lesson. When divine King Jesus won the victory on the cross, he was crowned by God the Father himself. Amen. Mr. Michael, what does that mean when I'm facing all these problems in my life? I want you to listen very carefully. It means that when a misguided soul says to you, all ways lead to God, all religions lead to God, what do you say to them? No. What do you say?
No.
Only King Jesus is the King of all kings. When a misinformed or an ignorant person says to you, Jesus is just the founder of a religion, just like the founders of the other religions, what do you say?
No.
My God the Father crowned my God the Son to be King of all kings. When some pseudo-intellectual tries to intimidate you and tells you that Jesus was just a merely good man, you say what?
No.
No. King Jesus is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. When a clueless person who may stick the word reverend before their name tells you that Jesus was merely a good role model for sentimentality of accepting sin, you say what? No. King Jesus is the only righteous king, and he makes his subject to be righteous. And if someone asks you, why is he the king of the universe? You know what to tell them? Tell them the reason he's the king of the universe, because he is superior in his character. He is infinite in his wisdom. He is divine in his nature. He is perfect in his knowledge. He is complete in his power. He is pure in his lineage. He is righteous in his personality. He is just in all of his rulings. And then invite them to come to him. And if they say to you, why should I do that? Here's what you need to tell them. You need to tell them because he is matchless in his superiority. He is bountiful in his blessings. He is glorious in his splendor. He is impeccable in his reasoning. He is immaculate in his birth. He is matchless in his resurrection. And he is from eternity to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. I want to tell you the greatest problem that the Church of Jesus Christ has today. The greatest problem. And I'm talking about the church in general, not a local church. Our greatest problem is not the atheists. They actually command my sympathy. They're blind. Our greatest problem is not the agnostics. I weep over their blindness and their doubt. Our greatest problem is not the antagonistic secular society. No. They're not the problem of the church. They really are not. Listen to me. The greatest problem today is those who claim to be subject of King Jesus, and yet they have lost their sense of awe and reverence to their king. That is the problem. And beloved, so many are praying for a revival. There can be no revival until God's people begin to restore the sense of awe, the awesomeness of our King Jesus. Until we regain that sense of awe and reverence. Today, most churches said, your friend Jesus, take him along the way as your friend. He is that to me. He's that to most of those who know him. But he's more than just a friend. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's to be bowed to. He's been reverenced. Zechariah said, see, your king comes to you riding on a donkey. Why donkey? Why not white horse like all the other kings? Because his unquestioned humility became complete. Of course, you know that leaving the splendor of heaven and laying aside the trappings of his splendor and power, not his divinity, he never laid that aside, and coming to earth and having nowhere to lay his head, dying on a cross, a criminal's cross, rising again. That's the ultimate in humility. But in order to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah, he rides on a donkey. And that is why, you know, when those miserable Pharisees and Sadducees, when they heard people saying, Hosanna, 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 blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, these Pharisees and Sadducees, the Sadducees are really, their name is, they are sad, you see. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They are sad, you see. When they came to Jesus, said, silence them. Silence them. Let them not say that. Jesus said to them, if they were silent, the rocks will cry out. Today, when you think of all the forces, I mean, they're countless. They're trying to silence the Christian believers with all the forces that want to silence the name of Jesus from public life, with all the many forces that want to remove the crosses from public eye, the many former Christian schools that are now seeking to muffle the message of Christ. Even if they succeed in silencing some of the voices, the rocks will cry out. Today, more than ever, if I have one more day to live, I would make the same plea. More than ever, those who love Jesus, who claim to love Jesus, those who say Jesus is my King, they need to lovingly refuse to be silent. But if you want to be effective, you have to first crown Him Lord of your heart and Lord of your life. He has to be the King of your home, the King of your business, and the King of your marriage. He could not be confounded, for heaven of heavens could not contain Him. He could not be elevated, for His throne high above the summit of the universe. He could not be brightened, for He is already brighter than jasper and sapphire. And so on Palm Sunday, let me ask you a very personal question. Have you enthroned Him to be the absolute sovereign over your life? Have you crowned Him to be the absolute sovereign over your family? Have you crowned Him to be the absolute sovereign over your business? Have you crowned Him to be absolute sovereign to be over your marriage? The reason so many marriages are in trouble is because Jesus is not sovereign over marriages. Is He the absolute sovereign over your finances? Today you can do just that. He's inviting you, and it's up to you if you want to respond. Will you pray with me, please? Whether you have known of Jesus, or you have known Jesus in a nodding acquaintance way, or have even claimed to know Him for all these years, today you can say to Him, Lord Jesus, King Jesus, I accept Your invitation. Come, reign and rule over my life, over my family, over my business, over my marriage, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.
Pointed words from Dr. Michael Youssef to invite Jesus to rule and reign in your life today. Now, if the thought of Jesus ruling and reigning is foreign or confusing, allow me to encourage you to speak with one of our team members about your question. Start the process at ltw.org/Jesus. ltw.org/Jesus. Many people around the world have connected to Jesus through the ministry of Leading the Way. And we want to share one of those stories with you, because it's through your prayerful support that these connections are possible. A man in a challenging part of the Middle East came to know Christ, and because he tried to share his newfound joy with his family and friends, began being persecuted. Loneliness set in, as he was not connected to a sound church. But through Leading the Way and other ministries in the area, he is now connected with a solid church and is beginning to be discipled. Isn't that encouraging? God is using Leading the Way to encourage and grow people in their faith journey. And we encourage you to learn more about what's happening in all areas of the world. Partner with Dr. Youssef in prayer and financially. Here's how. Give us a call. We're at 866-626-4356. That's 866-626-4356. And online, we're at ltw.org. ltw.org. And you can write to us as well. We're at Leading the Way, Post Office Box 20100, Atlanta, Georgia, 30325. Again, that's Post Office Box 20100, Atlanta, Georgia, 30325.
As an encouragement to our fellow listeners, I would like to invite you to share how God is using this program to encourage you in your walk of faith. I believe it is important to give testimony of how God is working in your life. And if Leading the Way is part of that, we would want to know. You can call our testimony line at 877-941-7934. Thank you in advance, and God bless.
This program is furnished by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth.